Welcome to the Mike and Doug Show. That's right. This is Aim for Truth and Americans for Innovation and Michael McKibben and Douglas Gabriel. You can call me Thomas Paine in the ass of the globalists if you'd like. Welcome to the show, Mike.
Hello, Thomas. How are you?
I am so good because I got you reading my guy, Eustace Mullins. And what was so great about what we're going to talk about today is the Rockefellers. And your research goes beyond Eustace Mullins, who back in 1985, when John Barnwell was working at the Mayflower Bookshop, Eustace Mullins used to sell this book that I'm going to talk about it and read a couple passages from at the Mayflower, because he would get called by Eustace Mullins himself, and they'd make the orders and talk to Eustace on the phone.
Seriously?
Yeah. Wow. So this book is called The World Order, not The New World Order. The World Order, Our Secret Rulers, A Study in the Hegemony of Parasitism. Now, what's cool about this book is I found nothing in it that's incorrect, but you got to do the research. He just kind of lays it out, and he shows who all the bankers are. They go back to the City of London, and in fact, back to the Bowers. You know, I like to call them the Bowers, and then make a pig sound, you know, for the Rothschilds. And he shows all the connections, and that they, all the bankers married the bankers' children's, and it's a small group of people. And when you look at it and you go, what? And then all you have to do is a little research and you find it's true. Well, when I read it the first time, I was not conversant with the evil coming out of the British imperialistic groups from Cecil Rhodes down to Tavistock Institute, to the Bank of England, to the City of London. I thought some of that stuff, to be quite frank with you as a historian, I thought it was a conspiracy theory. So I read this book, The World Order, and it didn't impress me that much, except it did point me in some directions, which then took me, oh, I don't know, what's it been since 1985 till now, for you to pull out the research and verify anything that your research has brought to light. Says aligns with Eustace Mullins. Now, there's a lot that we have yet to go into with Eustace Mullins, but the banking end of it and the way that it happened is so ridiculously simple and clear. But what you've done is you've revealed the Rockefeller's trail, their big, fat, wide trail. We're going to talk about that in a second, but I want to put this in perspective to begin with, and I'm going to be like my good buddy John Barnwell. I'm going to read you something from a book.
I have an opening question.
Yes.
Who would name their baby Eustace?
I know. I mean, on the playground, that really Eustace turns right into useless, you know? And I mean, how could he not be called anything else, really? And then what are you going to shorten it to? Eust?
Right.
Eust? Tust? No, terrible name. But hey,
doesn't matter. I just thought that was kind of funny.
I'm sorry, but
look at a little baby and call him Eustace.
You lived in Britain. You've heard some of the worst names ever. Okay, I'm going to read this. This is great. Rothschild Intercontinental Bank Limited has three principal American subsidiaries: National City Bank of Cleveland, the one I'm going to talk about in a second; First City National Bank of Houston, which is so corrupt, it's unbelievable, but you wouldn't even know it unless you studied it; and the Seattle First National Bank. Now, why do I have to say that? Because people would say, there's no Rothschild banks in America.
Gosh.
No, but if you know these banks, the one in Houston, First City National Bank, which is now called, and probably changed its name because they change the names all the time to confuse us. At that time, it had just been changed to First City Bank Corp. Now, when you talk about Cleveland, we're going to explain something in a second, and this will explain the Rockefellers quite clearly. But when you talk about the group in Houston, they controlled all of the Bush, Harriman, Brown Brothers oil, Zapata oil, all this corrupt oil. They control Texas. Who would know? Okay, so you want to say there's no Rothschild banks in this country? Incorrect. And these are three of the worst and three of the most hidden. Now, this...
Are you going to talk about Seattle?
No.
Isn't that the bank that Bill Gates' grandfather founded?
That's right. Because his Bill Gates' mother was on that board. Correct. Yes. Boy, I'm glad you pointed that out. So there's, oh my gosh, then there's what another one of the largest charitable foundations, the Gates Foundation, one of the largest in the world, which I was going to make an example of in what we're talking about here to show how the Rockefeller Foundation does the same thing. But first, let's put this in perspective. I thought John D. Rockefeller became rich during the First World War when he got the war contract, a monopoly for not only kerosene oil, but all petroleum. I thought that's how he became rich. And so when people said he's a Rothschild agent, I'd go, yeah, all right. No, he just was he had friends on the war board. No, incorrect. Here's the truth. This is from Eustace Mullins. Quote, John D. Rockefeller's success began when he obtained the backing of the National City Bank of Cleveland to finance his takeover of his competitors in the oil business. Because J.P. Morgan and Kuhn Loeb Company controlled 95% of all railway mileage in the U.S., excuse me, in the latter half of the 19th century, they offered Rockefeller special rebates on shipping oil through his holding company, South Improvement Company. That's the Rothschild Company. This enabled him, Rockefeller, to undersell and ruin his competitors. The entire Rockefeller empire was financed by the Rothschilds. Mm. Now, who would have known? I read this book back when it came out in 85, because my friend told me, you know, this is the book for a conspiracy theory. It's the big bankers. And you know that I have hammered on bankers and big bankers and brokers as warlords. And I like his name, Merchants of Death. And so we got to remember the Rockefellers became bankers, some of the biggest bankers in America, all of the Rockefellers. So tell us what you have now found the evidence for that good old Eustace just kind of pointed in the direction of.
At some point around 2000, the Rockefeller Foundation, who had been issuing their annual report every year since its founding in 1913, I believe, or 23. Anyway, started having to issue its financial reports to the IRS. And the IRS required additional data, especially on its financial holdings. Now, we're talking about a foundation that reports over $3.5 billion worth of financial transactions as a nonprofit. And it's actually a 501c3 nonprofit, which I'm very familiar with. I know you're very familiar with. And there are rules about what can classify as a 501c3. And one of the things that's specifically forbidden, as we know from the targeting of the, what was the name of that organization that the IRS targeted?
Tea Party,
yeah. There are limitations that the IRS can hammer down on an organization that they say is doing political activity. Now, this is one of the rules they use mightily against churches to muzzle the preachers from talking about anything related to our culture that involves politics. And so they enforce this to the nth degree with the church community. But here we have Rockefeller Foundation with a $3.5 billion war fund, and they've disclosed to the IRS their investments and their key donations. They have to list all their donations and all of their investments. And so we've had people going through year by year, and you might hear a little bit of paper in the background because I've got reports from our various researchers on the different Rockefeller foundations. And this just came out today that in 2011, that was a big year for the Rockefeller Foundation and its political activity. And one of the things we see are 10, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. 11 investments in an organization called Excel Partners. And Excel Partners was founded by James W. Breyer. And the reason we know him is he was the first chairman of Facebook back when they got access to our source code for social networking from the IBM Eclipse Foundation. And Excel in 2011 had an organization in China called IDG Excel China, which we also had tracked down because James W. Breyer's father, John P. Breyer, had moved over to China about 20 years ago and was consulting with the Chinese government on how to build their venture capital business in China. And 2011 also happens to be the year that James W. Breyer told Forbes magazine that he and his organization, Excel Partners, were super bullish on China. And that's an actual article, which I think Betsy is going to link to. And then we see the extent of the investments. And these are extensive investments. And I'm not going to go through each one, but we're talking about one holding alone in Excel 9, which is the way they name their different funds, where the Rockefeller Foundation has invested $64 million. And then we see a group of Chinese companies, Excel China Cap Fund 2 Capital, Growth Fund 2, Growth Fund 1, Growth Fund 3. You get the picture. And the total in 2011 reported is about $50 million invested in China. And so I don't think it takes a rocket science or even a financial guy to see there's a problem here with conflicts of interest. And so we've got the Rockefeller Foundations investing in China, which have stolen our technology and made Facebook. Excel was the initial financer in Facebook by a venture capitalist, along with Peter Thiel, by the way, and Reid Hoffman, LinkedIn. So we see this group of interlocking companies making their move in about 2011. This was during the Obama administration. And also in that same year, we discover that the foundation has made a donation of $3.5 million to an organization called Tenio Strategy Consulting. And if you follow the news on the Clinton Foundation, you know that Tenio Strategy was created by Doug Band, who was the founder of the Clinton Foundation for the Clintons, and he started the Clinton Global Initiative. And Bill Clinton even credits Band with the whole idea of the Clinton Foundation came from Doug Band. And here we have hard evidence you can take into court right now that the Rockefeller Foundation funded Tenio Strategy at its founding. That is scandalous by itself. And we can keep going here, but what we're seeing here in these financial reports by a nonprofit, allegedly nonprofit organization, is they are heavily involved in partisan, ultra-left political activities that have no other purpose than the global strategy of the Pilgrim Society in its takedown of America. In addition to that, I'll just keep going. There's another investment that we found in the 2009 report, and it's a holding of over $70 million in a company called Loan Cascade LP. And what we discovered in digging into that is an organization listed on the Panama Papers, which was a leak of major offshore banking systems around the world. And Loan Capital features prominently in that set of interlocks. And it shows how four layers into these interlocking organizations, which all have obscure names like LC Investment Holding Company, LSQ Investment Holding Company, LSI Investment Holding Company, LDR Investment Holding Company, LRD Investment Holding Company. This is the way they do it. they have these obscure names that you have never heard of and you never would hear of. And that is a layer below this loan capital LP. And then we keep going from there and we see interlocking relationships going 4 and 5 deep. And then finally we find Ernst & Young in Guernsey. We find Goldman Sachs in the Cayman Islands as the 4 layers deep relationships that are being hidden by this this investment. And this is a significant investment for them of $70 million. So obviously there's nothing but corrupt intent here. And we see it both overtly and covertly here. And I don't know what else to say, Douglas. This is a wholly corrupt organization.
Well, can you find anything where they gave money to something that they didn't get a tenfold return on?
These are long-term investments, and they continue to hold them. So that tells you all you need to know. We'd have to go back and look at the claims they make, and they don't show the actual investments transactions. So that's a little harder to come by unless you actually have the full financial report. And these reports they issue are so high level that you can't make head or tails out of the transactions.
Yes. Now, with the charitable foundations, whether it be the Rockefellers, Carnegie, Gates, Bill and Melinda, Wellcome Trust, the Trust Foundation, all these charitable organizations, they have to, if they're in America, they have to file. And what you have found is the most amazing thing, that the worst of them all, the one that Eustace Mullins will not mention, and the reason he won't mention it is he says that people who talk about the intergroup get killed immediately. And that's the Pilgrims. So the reality is these bankers, these British bankers, they're all intermarried. So correct. If a Rockefeller turns over on the pillow at night and whispers into his wife's ear, she picks up the phone the next day and talks to her girlfriend relatives, and that's insider trading. And it's massive insider trading. It's kind of like the Pilgrim Society dinner parties where, oh, we're just eating dinner. No, you're not. The interlocking, Eustace Mullins goes into that. He says that at one point it was only 5 people who ruled American banking, and at another point it was 7. That's it. And that it doesn't take much for those people to talk, and have a little insider trading going on. And then when you look at the way that it's hidden for their real investments out there in the corporate world, like you say, those names will obscure, conflate, confabulate, twist up, turn into offshore accounts and everything else. You can't figure out who those people are. But you know what? Some banker is married to one of them, the people who run it. And right. It is just disgusting how he shows that at his time, and he'll name somebody, someone I've never even heard of, George F. Baker, richer than J.P. Morgan because of Rothschild giving him the money to start his bank. And so the biggest banks in America were almost all given money through Rothschild, through J.P. Morgan and Kuhn Loeb Company, as well as he goes down the list of exactly who's who. Matter of fact, I think he went to the who's who. He went to that document that you showed, the reading into the congressional record of interlocking directorships. He did all this research, and in the end, he says, when he lists a name, that person will have 20 directorships of the biggest companies in the world. But wait, they're also the head of a bank. So how is that not insider trading?
Since you brought up the Interlocking Relationships Report, that was a 2-year study, and it was quite thorough. And the Congress did some real research there. It was impressive research. And they had been identifying the interlocking relationships in each industry segment. And when they got to the banking segment, there was the banking report on interlocking relationships was literally at the printing office, the government printing office. And that's when the Korean War started. So that's how much power these people have. They can order wars to bury information that they don't want to let out.
Oh, I mean, basically, we have pointed out that the American International what was it, American International Corporation, gave the Bolsheviks the money they wanted to keep them alive. Matter of fact, that this group basically, as they say, Wall Street group. Well, by Wall Street, he means bankers, but also the Federal Reserve bankers. So that controls the stock market, controls the Treasury, controls everything. I mean, these people go from being the head of the Treasury to the head of the biggest bank in America, you know, to also being the director of the, you know, 18 of the biggest corporations in America. And you're going, how is that legal? How is that even possible?
Let me give you an example why I think they've gotten away with it. First of all, these documents are only available because we've had so many years go by that finally they had to release these documents. They weren't available at the time. I mean, we got no access to the IRS filings unless they issued them. They're now available. But even then, you go into the report and you read this syrupy language, which is a vocabulary that they've obviously created specifically to fool people who might stumble on this report and read it. So let me read you the actual report on the Rockefeller Foundation summary of their donation into the Tenio Strategy Consulting in 2011 grants. It's on page 84, I believe. Here's what it says. Tenio Strategy Consulting, New York, New York, United States, $3.447150 million in support of a project in connection with the Rockefeller Foundation Centennial in 2013 to build capacity, create new coalitions, strengthen existing networks, and advance public policy by convening gatherings and providing multimedia tools and resources for identifying challenges and proposing tangible solutions to global problems.
Did the Tavistock Institute write that? Because that's just propaganda.
Oh my gosh, it says absolutely nothing, but somehow it sounds kind of okay.
I want to sign up. I need their help because I need help in all those areas, but they're not going to help you in those areas. I loved what you show in the you gave to the Cat Report, and Betsy posted it, the Rockefeller, that their foundation report, right? And their index, I couldn't believe it. It is the worst double speech I have ever seen in my life.
Right.
They claim that they are heaven sent when they are hell sent. Okay. They are literally economic demons, predators who are eating these people, killing these people, and bragging that they're really doing great work. It's kind of like,
but wait, Douglas, you've got to remember that on those pages, they have color photos of women, of children, happy, playing, planting corn, carrying seeds over their backs, fixing up their huts in Africa. And they really focus on all the tearjerker types of photos you would ever see in the best propaganda available. And that seems to appeal to a certain group of people. So everything you see about their PR, their websites, their promotion is all this syrupy, glowing world peace. We're going to save everybody from being hungry. We're going to come out with new genetically modified seeds that are going to feed the world, and we're the best thing ever. I mean, it's just, I don't know. It's hard to describe how
the only thing worse is to go to the Clinton Foundation. Go to any Clinton Foundation and read that syrupy garbage,
yes,
knowing that they only give 2.5 to 4% is the maximum amount they give to their cause. The rest goes to the three Clintons. Now, that's pretty good because, you see, Hillary Clinton would like to be like the Queen and Wellcome Trust and all these wonderful charitable organizations that the British monarchy is involved in, and the Privy Council members are just giving money away, you know, so charitably. But here's the deal. The Brits got it so that they don't give any money to the cause. They don't give 2.5 to 4%. They give none, because not only that, they get back 10 to 100 times fold what they give as a donation charitably. Watch it closely. it serves their interest in another corporation. So they give to the groups creating vaccines so that their pharmaceutical companies get the AstraZeneca contract for hundreds of millions of vaccines. That's not charitable donation. That is self-enrichment. And it is the masters of it are the Brits. And so to find that in almost every case that you can think of somebody who had filthy wealth in America early on through banks, it came directly from the Rothschilds and from and the city of London.
Whenever you see a Cayman Island, whenever you see a Cayman Island account, you got to think dirty money. And here we have five layers deep Rockefeller telling us that their money is all in dirty offshore accounts.
So I'm piping in here because I'm thinking about what's going on right now with these protesters being hustled around the country by, according to Trump, some really wealthy person people. And of course, we would know that to be, at least in our circle, George Soros, and we would be looking at the Tides Foundation and MoveOn.org and those. And I know I saw the Tides Foundation appear on some of your research, and I want you to talk about that. And also, and then Douglas, if you can, talk about these recent things that are going on with those protests, who's funding them, and how this might affect the other organizations that George Soros has been pumping money into, and a word too about how the NGOs all work with this.
Okay, so I'll read you from their financial report 2011. Tides Foundation is one of the recipients, Tides Center, they call it. And here's what it's for. In support of an evaluation of the foundation's accelerating innovation for developing initiatives to foster learning, accountability, and performance improvements in the foundation and among its grantees.
Again, that says nothing, total propaganda. And Tides has, you know, like 10 names, like you pointed out. So Tides Foundation, Tides Support. But Tides is the money laundering aspect of George Soros's Open Society. I think what Betsy has asked me to say is that we heard a rumor that if you donate to Black Lives Matter or Antifa, that it goes to the Democratic National Committee. Then you got to see that Scopes came out and Scope and his cat. Oh, that's, does he even own it anymore? Anyway, I think the cat told him that that wasn't true, so he put that up as false. No, that is true. Here's what happened. Black Lives Matter, when they first started, got a $900,000 donation from the Kellogg Foundation. Ooh. And it went to what? Three or four people? And those three or four Marxists are now paying people to be rioters? Because really, they, you know, who's a real follower of Black Lives Matter? If you, anyone who says that they're in power, says they're an anarchist, says they're a fascist, says they're a Marxist, says they're going to burn it all down, they're going to destroy it all. And you go, whoa, 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 you can't be a 501c3, receive foundational charitable donations for your organization, Antifa or Black Lives Matter, when in fact you are more than partisan. You are treasonous. Anyway, doesn't matter. The point is, when they started, it was a group called International Development Exchange. Then they got busted for that because they said, "What? Oh, you know, they tracked it down and said, wait a second, this group has taken most of the money. They're not even giving it to Black Lives Matter."
But let me read you from Wikipedia. Now, Wikipedia is one of their spokespersons, so usually you have to read this with a lot of critical eye, but in this case, it didn't even have to, and Wikipedia doesn't even hide it. The Tides Foundation is an American public charity and fiscal sponsor to advance progressive causes and policy initiatives in areas such as environment, healthcare, labor issues, immigrant rights, LGBTQ plus rights, women's rights, and human rights. It was founded in San Francisco in 1976, through donor-advised funds. Tides distributes money from anonymous donors to other organizations, which are often politically liberal. It manages two centers in San Francisco and New York that offer collaborative spaces for social and other types of nonprofits. Oh my gosh.
Catch the word progressive. Underline that and make that far left.
Yes.
because you can't get a non-government organization more far left than, say, David Brock or Black Lives Matter or Antifa. You're just not going to get anybody. And 184 organizations are paid through the laundering. And notice it says anonymous donors. Those aren't anonymous donors. That's George Soros. That's Lord Malik Brown. Remember, Lord Malik Brown was on a founder of George Soros's Open Society Foundation. Right. And so they don't want it to come from Open Society Foundation, so they shuffle it through Tides and they think they can hide it. No. So after it was with International Development Exchange, then it went to a thing called these organizations, these crazy organizations, crazy George Soros-supported organizations, went to another charitable organization to handle the donations, who stole most of the money too. They were called Thousand Currents. And then when they got busted, it went to Act Blue. And recently, we busted Act Blue and said, folks, go anywhere. I beg you, donate $5 to Black Lives Matter. Go to the bottom of the page and see that you just gave money to George Soros. Follow it through, and they say 83% of the money given to Act Blue for Antifa and Black Lives Matter and many other organizations that they handle, many, many, many far left progressive, as they say, organizations, they went directly to Act Blue is an extension, the charitable extension of the Democratic National Committee.
Well, okay, here, what really
And then it went to the Tides Foundation, sorry. And then when they got busted, because we busted them, they've now moved it to the Tides Foundation. And Trump just said he's going after the big people who are behind this, who are funding it. And then he kind of described what I would say is a really good picture of George Soros and his son, Alexander.
Well, this grotesque misuse of the 501c3 charitable status is what really fries me, because I know how difficult that constraint is for people in church to address cultural issues in a country when every time a pastor turns around, he's being accused of speaking politically. Well, politics is a part of our lives. And to have muzzled through that Johnson Amendment and this IRS rule about 501c3s and not being able to be involved in politics has essentially neutered the church, the moral leaders of this country, and their ability to speak to a lot of these issues. And so on the one hand, they're straining over gnats whenever a pastor might say this or that or the other. On the other hand, you've got a situation like this where you've got a $3.5 billion Rockefeller Foundation fund openly funding these ultra-left political organizations, and nothing happens to them. So I think what needs to happen is the churches in mass have got to speak up and say, enough of this. We're not going to follow these rules until they're applied across the board to everyone. And when we do, maybe the IRS will do its job, because right now they're getting these reports and they're sitting on them and not doing anything. This is just scandalous.
It totally is. And this goes directly to one of your miners' best chunks of gold that came out of the mines recently, which is that the Pilgrim Society is a 501c3, and they, through their insider trading, through their interlocking connections and all these corporations, through their just absolute criminal activity that we have traced back to show you, this goes back to even before Cecil Rhodes and the over 100-year plan that they are applying as strongly as they can so that the British can continue to control America. Well, let's remember, these foundations, just as you said, whether they be Pilgrim Society, they should be closed. Ford Foundation, oh yeah, they do some good things, but they supported Hitler, okay?
Well, okay, first of all, you said that, I think maybe tongue-in-cheek, okay, they've done a few good things. Show me.
No, that was tongue-in-cheek.
Oh, now, okay.
And I'm going to prove that in just a second. And so then how about Carnegie Foundation? Oh, they're so good. They create libraries for every major city in America. Wrong. Those weren't libraries. Those were propaganda indoctrination, mind-bending, mind-manipulating Tavistock control, which rewrote history to make the Brits look like our good people. And the predictive propaganda that was written by Huxley and in 1984 in Brave New World, That was a prediction of what these British imperialist eugenicist, depopulationist. That's what they planned, but they had to have control of the library and the mainstream media.
Wait. You're saying George Orwell was a propagandist?
Sure. So was Huxley.
Everybody quotes him. Everybody in the conservative movement quotes him as a hero of exposing this idea of New World Order. You're saying
exposing. He got us used to the fact that that's what we're in right now. How did he know what it was? He knew the plan.
Mm-hmm.
Period.
Wow.
I mean, we know even the house that he wrote these things in. I forget the Lord and his special home that he invited these authors to. And they wrote all kinds of stuff. But when he had them writing stuff, it was predictive of what it has become. To a T. I mean, they quote these books now. And what do they, it sounds like our modern times. Anyway,
okay, so what was the motivation for that? Predict it. Say that again. It was predictive.
So they're
telling us what they're going to do.
The psychotics always do that. If I just committed a crime, then the psychotic says, what are you going to think? I killed him? And then they go on thinking that because they said it out loud, they diffused it. It's called a caricature. It's called the tail that wags the dog. It's called, gross misrepresentations of confabulation and conflating things so that you get the exact opposite. So what I'm saying is charities. Let's name a few. How about the Gates Foundation? They've taken over all education now because they gave billions of dollars to every state to create a virtual high school, which they own the programs of, and now they control what we have been forced into, which is education going online, and most of us in our work going online. Well, who does that benefit? It benefits the people who are giving these charitable donations. And in a minute, I'm going to tell you about an intelligence report we just wrote. But when you look at Wellcome Trust, they were in pharmaceuticals. They're the worst. They're horrible. When you look at the Rhodes Scholars, these charitable donations, no, they're not. These people are in it.
What Rhodes Scholarships are? It's Monster for the Pilgrim Society. Monster.com for the Pilgrim Society.
Absolutely. So Rockefeller, Gates, Clinton, Wellcome Trust, Carnegie, Ford, all of them. I can't name a big one that is really, really big that they don't do the same thing. Now, we did an intelligence report recently, and I went to all the yearly donations for the Gates Foundation, and I listed them, and I demonstrated that every single one of their donations comes back to them 10 to 100 times fold. These aren't donations. This isn't charitable. This is a way to use tax-free 501c3s to advance your own economic aggrandizement, period. So you have the Gates Foundation giving hundreds of millions of dollars to every P4 lab, which is doing biological warfare, which created the coronavirus 19. You have them giving to Muriel Animal Hospital, to Perbright, to AstraZeneca. You can't name the NIH, the CDC. You can't name a corrupt pharmaceutical group that they didn't give amazing amounts of money to. And not surprisingly to me, but to some it might be, they spent hundreds of millions, if not billions, on how they are going to psychologically propagandize everyone to stop the anti-vaxxers who don't want their vaccine, which they make money off of. So we are talking about criminal activity under the auspices of a 501c3, whether it's the Pilgrim Society or any of these foundations I've mentioned, especially the Gates Foundation and the Rockefeller Foundation, who are just so obvious with it. It's just plain criminal. All you'd have to do if you were with the SEC is take one single look at it, spend 1 minute on it. Or if you were with the IRS, you'd go, wait, this is a violation of your 501c3. So let's close down George Soros. His open society is Tides and the 184 NGOs that he promotes in this country, which are actually treasonous, seditious insurrection and a resistance against a sitting president. This is all very political. You can't be political, as you've pointed out, and be a 501c3. They all need to be closed down. Okay, I'm going to say one other thing, and that's this. I loved what Eustace Mullins told us. He says that the richest families, these banker families, the smart sons, they stay in the banks. The stupid idiot sons, where do you think they go? To the CIA. And what's the best propaganda machine of the CIA? The mainstream media. So that's why Brzezinski, and that's why Cooper and some of these people are filthy rich, but they take a pathetic little job being someone who reads a prompter and is mindless. Well, they were mindless to begin with, according to Eustace Mullins. They were basically, what did he call them? He had choice names for them, but they were basically the idiots of the family. And when you look at the actions of the CIA, whether it be Peter Strzok, whether it be Brennan, whether it be Pompeo, whether it be Barr, name a CIA person that's intelligent. Oh, my Lord, I can't think of one. So It is true that the propaganda is so important for the bankers to keep control that they offer up their idiot sons to a no-brain business who controls their corporate interests through the CIA in foreign countries.
Holy, that explains a lot.
Lord, that's what the CIA does. They don't care about America. They support American corporations in foreign countries. They start wars. They start chaos so that there can be economic predatory action on foreign countries, i.e. Susan Rice, Congo, 4.5 million people killed for oil.
One of the investors in the RCA, creation of RCA from Marconi, USA, was the United Fruit Company. And that was a CIA operation in South America. And if you track the United Fruit Company investments all through the 1900s, they appear everywhere. They're actually on the Marshall Plan Committee, the United Fruit Company. So that's where they send all their dumb sons. To the United Fruit Company.
Oh, I've been told, I can't even tell you what all I know about that, but let me just say that that's the CIA headquarters in South America and has been, you know, and in Mexico, it was Zapata Oil through George Herbert Walker Bush, who, by the way, Herbert Walker was a banker and his grandfather and Brown Brothers Harriman and Averill Harriman and E.H. Harriman, all these people were Rothschild supported behind the scenes through J.P. Morgan and Kuhn Loeb.
You know, you just explained something to me that we couldn't find any evidence for, and that was that Bill Gates is associated with the Rothschilds. And what you just explained to me from the Mullins research is that his grandfather got into business in Seattle in the banking business through the Rothschilds. That is new information to me.
And you know what you explained to me? How George H.W. Bush got his job in the CIA. His rich banker fathers and grandfathers sent the idiot into the CIA.
Wow.
Here's what they said about George W. Eustace Mullins. And by the way, thank you for posting, both of you, whoever came up with that Eustace Mullins interview. I've never heard him speak. And he was very clear. The reason he's not going to tell us about the Pilgrims, because they'll kill him. Period. And he said that George H.W. Bush, that there were actually statements by Harriman and these other people who are the big controllers that put Bush in charge of it and it will go to hell in 2 months.
So let me ask you something. Can a stupid son of a wealthy oligarch be moral? Or have they just inherited each other's demonic tendencies?
Well, I think it's individual, but let's look at Baby Bush. Baby Bush was special education up until seventh grade. He is an idiot because his dad is an idiot. And I tell you how I can know. Let's go to Ayurveda medicine. When you have teensy tiny little teeth like they have, that means you have a teensy tiny little brain. Okay. And so George Baby Bush, when he would give a talk afterwards, you'd see that smile like, you see, Daddy, I can read the prompter. I told you I could read the prompter. And Bush, with Zapata Oil, as Eustace Mullen point out, he named his oil company after one of the most ruthless killers in Mexican history. And then they named the two ships that were going to take the soldiers to the Bay of Pigs. I love this one. Barbara, his evil wife. And what was the other one? Oh, Zapata. And he, wow. So therefore, he considered Zapata the killer.
Well,
to be equal to his wife.
That explains why we've always noticed these people aren't too bright. It's because they're not bright. And they do really dumb things, so you don't want to let them out too far. You got to keep them on a short leash.
Absolutely.
But not all of them are stupid. And so the mechanism they've used to maintain control for over 100 years is evil genius. And the exciting thing that I see now is that for the first time, we're able to get on a broad basis, thanks to the internet, a lot of these documents that Eustace Mullins had to actually fly to Washington and sit in the Library of Congress for months on end to read those documents. The fascinating thing is we see the documents that we found in the stuff he found. So that's a pretty good confirmation that we're on the right track.
I'll just close with this. Eustace Mullins was trained by Ezra Pound, who was considered one of the most intelligent people ever to live. Ezra Pound's cantos, most people can't understand them because they're on such a high level. And he, through his genius, understood the workings of D.C., as well as Eustace Mullins studied with one of the top Washington, D.C. journalists, Stimson, and he studied with H.L. Hunt. So Eustace was told by Ezra Pound, who had been locked up for I think like 13, 14 years in an insane asylum in Washington, D.C. to silence him. He was told, go out and expose the big banks. And so that's what he's doing here, but he can't go too far because as he said repeatedly three or four times in that interview, when the interviewer asked him, he says, well, I can't tell you that because they kill people who say that. You can't say that without getting killed. He said it again and again. So this is what we're up against, but because you and your company, Leader Technologies, has given us the capacity with social media and the very thing that we're talking on today, you've given us this capacity for information to be used. You wanted it for us. But Sorry, the military used it against us. But now what are we doing with it? We are running a counterintelligence movement to bring truth forth so that we can use this social media for the purposes that you intended it for, which was basically advancing human knowledge and for freedom of speech and for a platform that could connect humans worldwide. And now we see that it's being used against us for those very purposes. But because people are speaking the truth, they're closing it down. And if they could close it all down, they would. So we have to just keep spitting out the truth.